First up, Australia has seen a significant milestone by tabling the first ever treaty bill in Victorian Parliament, following a decades-long journey and years of negotiations. Treaty Pathway has developed alongside the Yuruk Justice Commission, Australia's first Indigenous-led truth-telling inquiry. The commission was called for by the First Peoples Assembly back in 2021, linking truth-telling with treaty-making. Many First Nations communities welcome the treaty bill, and if passed, legislation will enshrine the First Peoples Assembly under a new authority called Galangwal. Oxfam Australia Executive Lead First Peoples Program, Jimmy Peters, has described the time as emotional, marking progress and recognition.
My name is Jimmy Peters. I'm the First Peoples Executive Lead at Oxfam Australia, and I'm a proud Yorta Yorta and Wurundjeri man.
What's your response to this moment, being the first in the country to table treaty legislation following significant negotiations?
For me personally, as a First Nations man, a future that we can look forward to. The treaty process has been going for a long time. It's not just something that's arisen. You know, we've lost a lot of people along the way within our community who have been fighting for this conversation to sort of happen and these processes to be put into place. I feel that, you know, with this treaty, it started, I feel, a healthy conversation. I feel that for a long time we haven't had a voice. This is going to give us the opportunity to use the voice, but we know we are the solution to a lot of the issues that we face on a daily basis.
I can also hear it is obviously very, very personal. It's a huge, huge thing in Australia's history.
For me, the personal elements of it, I had two uncles who were in part of the Stolen Generation, and I got to see them as I was growing up and the traumas that came with them for what had happened to them. And I also, you know, watched my grandmother over many years, you know, mourn two sons, and got to see them come home and things and never really find that space that we kind of had. It was a sense of loss with them, and that's due to all the things they went through as part of that process of the Stolen Generation.
I guess on that note as well, this could mean a formal apology from my understanding. How do you feel about that?
I always think I'd love to see an apology happen, but I'd also love to see some actions that come out of it. We've been here before on a national scale where I feel as an experience of what I experienced when the apology happened back in the day was there wasn't really anything attached to it that could move us forward. It was just an apology. So I'd love to be able to see an apology with some structure put behind it, led by First Nations peoples in Victoria, to be able to amplify this treaty and really take it to the next level. I'd love to be able to see change in my lifetime. For me, treaty is not it's about me, but it's about our future generations and making sure that we have put in the right processes for them to be able to thrive and to be able to achieve their best in life like every other Australian.
And it could be quite a significant move forward, I guess, in terms of history and truth as well, and truth telling and hearing those stories and views.
From what I've seen, we've been talking our truths for many years. I think as part of the truth telling process too, it's about getting people to hear us and understand us. We know the truth is hard, but it's the truth. It's part of the history of this country. And I feel that part of the reason we have such racist problems within this country is because we're scared to talk about the truth. We bury them. And I think that we need to, especially in this time after what happened at Camp Sovereignty the other week, like that's just unacceptable. And we shouldn't have to be dealing with that in 2025. I feel like the world's kind of losing its place and shifting. And it's really time that we started to stand strong. I feel there's more of us that want the change. I just don't know if people know how to make the change. I know that this treaty process is going to be a structure that will inform the broader community around the histories. And I feel that once we start to do that, we can move forward. I mean, as First Nations people, we want this people in this country to celebrate the oldest living culture in the world. What an amazing thing to be able to do. And I think too that, you know, as First Nations people, we've worked really hard in this state to get to this place. And I feel every state and territory has. But I'm hoping that as part of the treaty conversations and the processes and the bill being passed here, that this is just the start of a national conversation. So I'm excited to see where it lands, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
And I guess on that note, Victoria's the first jurisdiction in Australia. What do you know, what could it mean for other jurisdictions? Do you think, speculating, do you think they might follow suit?
I kind of think you can hear the conversation starting up now. If you look at Common Threads and what they're out there currently doing, trying to get that national conversation going, I feel that it's time. I don't know we have to wait and see what the other states and territories and the First Nations people in those spaces want to bring to the table. I think that each of us have had different effects around the colonisation of this country. But I do believe that for us to move forward to a better future, we need to be heard and we need to be able to have voices at the tables where the changes are made. And I think that's why this bill is so important. It's going to be able to put us in spaces we probably haven't had a strong voice. And I'm excited to see how we come together as a community. We've shown over the last 6 to 7 years since Julia Gallagher was the commissioner for Victoria to get this up and going. I feel like we've come a long way. We've built our processes, our frameworks. Community are embracing it a lot better. And that we are hoping that, you know, this, as I said, will give, I suppose, a blueprint or some kind of steps forward for other states and territories to explore what that may look like for them.
In terms of this treaty legislation, what do you think it could mean for closing the gap and genuine, practical First Nations-led reform, especially regarding education?
I do have a background in health. I worked at the Victorian Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, VACTRO, for many years. One of the things I found was the Closing the Gap campaign is a great concept and everything, but where I feel it could really improve is for the government to start listening to the voices that are at those tables, the NATROs and all those of the world. I feel like that the way we will close the gap, especially within Victoria, is we need to be heard. But I feel that part of the way you need to fix communities is you need to be given the tools to understand what you're working with, and we need to be more resourced in that area.
How do you hope that this seeks to improve interactions between First Nations people, First Nations leaders, and the Victorian government?
I think that's still a work in progress. I feel that we're still testing the waters, I suppose, on how the government will receive this. We've had some pushback, that we can't deny that, but we've had a lot of government who are embracing this change and wanting to see what it looks like. So I think the first step was getting it to where it is today, and I'm very proud of the Assembly for what they've achieved. I try to attend as many meetings as I can and inform myself as a First Nations man. It's really interesting to sort of see that for the first time in my life that the government is actually listening and wanting to know a bit more. And I think that comes down to leadership in their space.
As you've mentioned throughout, and I've sort of iterated as well, this has been years and years and years in the making. So it's pretty incredible. 2025, just this week, it gets tabled. So it's a pretty historical moment.
Yeah, and I think legislating it too gives us the confidence that we are being able to move forward. I think that's been a key to this success. Yeah, I feel it's going to be a lot harder for future governments to come in and dismantle and all that, because that is a big fear in my mind. You know, we've had promises before and we've had them taken away. I think too, part of the thing that I'm excited about is, as part of my role at Oxfam Australia, as the First Peoples Executive Lead, you know, part of our strategy moving forward is to amplify that community leadership and support First Nations communities to fully express their aspirations around sovereignty and self-determination. You know, we're looking at developing awareness and building campaigns. So, you know, Oxfam Australia, we want to support First Nations communities in Victoria and across the country to build those platforms, to amplify their voices. And I feel that as a Oxfam Australia, we are in a unique place. We are being able to put that story out amongst our supporters and places like that. There's been a number of First Nations leaders and people in these spaces for many years. And I feel that what it's going to do for us is, you know, we want to close the gap. We want to stop the deaths in custody. We want to stop the high incarceration rates of our people. I feel that this is a time for us to come together as a state, and we should be coming together as a country. Walking side by side, I feel that, you know, it's time. As I said, we haven't seen this before. The excitement's there, and it's really, I don't know, it's doing something to me personally, that I see a future that where all the work that we've done to date is now being starting to be understood. And we are, like I said, we are the solution. We know our people better than anyone else. We want to be a part of the celebration of this country. And I feel that one of the things I think that makes me feel really happy is being able to look up at the sky at night to all the fellas, all our ancestors and our elders that have passed before us, who have actually helped position us in this space, are getting the opportunity to look down us with pride. And that means a lot to me. It also makes me very emotional because, you know, there's been a lot of heartache in this process of loss if we can support communities to be there better in areas such as closing the gap and they live longer, you know, that would be an amazing achievement in itself.
Thank you so much.
I'm emotional because I'm proud to have this voice. This is the stuff I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I never would have thought I'd have this kind of voice in my lifetime.
It's pretty significant.
It really is. And it's because of these treaty processes that I'm feeling more confident as a First Nations man to speak out. I haven't spoken out. I do speak a lot and I speak out, but I'm mindful too because I do get scared of the attacks because mm-hmm. they do happen to us. Mm-hmm. But I suppose part of the thing I love too with this treaty process is I've been watching all the commentary on Facebook with my community and how they're seeing different ways of moving forward for themselves and how exciting it is to see this structure put in place that's going to support not just the communities but the current processes and structures we have in place. It's going to give us a better negotiation platform than we've ever had, and we should have had this a long time ago. And that's that thing of bringing it back to, you know, we are the solution as First Nations people. And I feel that once we start to show that, we will start to thrive. I would say where we are thriving at the moment. We've got to where we are. And I think too, the other part of it is the Europe Truth Telling Commission. You know what, mm-hmm. that process was really heavy for a lot of our community. I know I went to a few hearings. There were some hearings I couldn't go to. I remember having to keep putting the report down because, you know, family members are in there. But I feel like too, it was kind of a therapeutic moment for, and a healing moment for our people, because there were a lot of stories that were told that we probably didn't even know of or growing up because they weren't spoken about. But now they've gone down in history and they're a part of that process and they've been recorded. So I feel that it's now time to embrace the treaty, to be able to move forward, to put the elements in to start the process to healing and putting us out there and being a part of who we are and celebrating that.
Oxfam Australia Executive Lead First Peoples Program, Jimmy Peters, speaking with me.